I'm so immediately, that's how the other kind of thing going on. I was on my own, so I was about to move.
Thank you. Grace and peace on a shower by Announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead of by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Amen.
The Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Alleluia.
The righteous shall be glad.
They shall exult before God.
They shall be jubilant with joy. Hallelujah.
God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered.
And those who hate him shall flee before him.
Sing to God, sing praises to his name.
Exalt before him.
The Lord gives the word.
Behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice.
Awesome is God from his sanctuary.
God of Israel, he is the one who gives power and strength to his people.
The Spirit of the Lord fills the world. Alleluia.
The righteous shall be glad.
They shall exalt before God.
They shall be jubilant with joy. Alleluia.
Thank you.
Taught the hearts of your faithful people by sending them the light of your Holy Spirit. Grant us in our day by the same Spirit to have a right understanding in all things and evermore to rejoice in his holy consolation. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Question 64. Does anyone have the authority to take another person's life? Government, acting justly as God's servant, may at times need to take life in order to protect the lives of others. For example, just wars or capital punishment. Romans 13. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Christians may in good conscience disagree about whether a particular war is just. They may also conscientiously disagree about whether capital punishment is always warranted or whether it is being administered in a just way. The Old Testament reading for Pentecost is in the 11th chapter of Genesis, beginning with verse 1. Now the whole earth had one language and one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly." They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city, a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth." But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the sons of men had built. And the Lord said, "Indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language. This is what they begin to do. Now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth. And they ceased building the city. Therefore its name is called Babel, because the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Here endeth our Old Testament reading. Our epistle reading, or our second reading, is from the book of Acts, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all of one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then they appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, the multitude came together and were confused, because everyone heard them speak in his own language. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, "Look, are not all these who speak Galileans? And how is it that we hear each in our own language in which we were born? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Perga and Pamphylia, Egypt, and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them speaking in their own tongues the wonderful works of God." So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "Whatever could this mean?" Others, mocking, said, "They are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Here endeth our epistle reading. Please rise to the Alleluia verse. Alleluia.
Alleluia. When you send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the ground. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of the faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel is written in the 14th chapter of St. John, beginning with verse 23. And said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father. for my Father is greater than I am. And now I've told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will talk no longer much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. Here endeth the gospel reading. Let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed found on page 22.
I believe in one God, Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten and not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for our strength and for our salvation came down from heaven, and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary, and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Please be seated as we begin with our next hymn.
Thank you.
Our sermon is based off our gospel reading and our second reading from Acts. And the theme is the true meaning of Pentecost, recognizing the work of the Holy Spirit. The grace, mercy, and peace of Christ Jesus rest upon each and every one of you. Amen.
Amen.
So when you think of Pentecost, what do you think of? A rushing wind, tongues of fire dancing on the heads of Christ's disciples, uneducated Galileans speaking in languages they've never learned. Yes, these things did indeed happen on the first Pentecost of the New Testament. And a preacher can hardly preach a Pentecost sermon without mentioning these happenings. Of course, they're saints in Christ. Pentecost commemorates Jesus sending the promised Holy Spirit, the Comforter. And Christians today certainly want to receive the Holy Spirit, as you just sang, "Come, Holy Ghost, God and Lord, with all your graces now outpoured." So it's an appropriate question this Pentecost morning. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? Many seek to receive the Holy Spirit by duplicating the signs that accompanied the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Men and women prophesying and speaking in tongues they've never learned. Others perform miracles, healings, to such to prove that they have the Holy Spirit. And Jesus did say at his ascension, as recorded in the 16th chapter of Mark, "These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will recover." Nevertheless, it is important to note that Jesus did not promise that these signs would continue to accompany his church forever. In fact, St. Paul says in chapter 13 of his letter to the Christians in Rome that such gifts of the Spirit would cease. Neither are these signs the actual gifts that the Holy Spirit brings, but merely signs that accompany the Holy Spirit's work. The tongues of fire, the speaking in tongues, the healings. They are all adornments to show the world that the Holy Spirit is working. But to confuse the adornments with actual gifts you should seek to receive from the Holy Spirit is like focusing upon the wrapping paper instead of the actual gift. You see, a bride wears a beautiful wedding dress at her wedding. She does this to adorn herself as she presents herself to her groom. She does this also so that everyone knows who the bride is. Nevertheless, on my wedding day, even if the wedding dress were the most beautiful gown ever worn upon this earth, adorned with jewels and made with the finest materials, if my wife was not wearing the dress, I would not be pleased. The wedding dress is simply adornment. That's not to say that it isn't important. But unless it is worn by the true bride, it's just a dress. And a bride doesn't wear her wedding dress throughout her entire marriage. However, she still remains her husband's bride. Jesus says in the gospel reading, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him. And he will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. But the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So if you love Jesus, you love his word. When Jesus promised the Holy Spirit, he was promising above all else to send his comforting, and powerful word. The tongues of fire and different languages were just adornments, like a wedding dress on a bride. But the word that they preached by the Spirit was the beautiful face of the bride. This is why those who heard their words gladly say, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. These mighty works of God are the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, which you heard St. Peter himself preach in his Pentecost sermon. And all those speaking in tongues were preaching the same thing, still using different passages from Scripture to prove the gospel. It is the word of the gospel, the mighty work of salvation, which Christ your Lord accomplished through his cross, which is the true gift of the Lord. This is the comfort and peace which the world cannot give you. And this is what those who love Jesus desire to hear, to learn, and to cherish. Just as a groom desires to see the face of his bride much more than her wedding dress. A number of years ago, I met a man who had left the Lutheran church and joined a Pentecostal church. He said he joined them because he witnessed the gifts of the Spirit, in particular the works of healing. So I asked him, but don't you miss the sacraments? And receiving Christ's true body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins? He said, well, yes, but you can't compare God's gifts. Well, you certainly can. The gentleman chose the prettier dress over the true bride. Christ never promised perpetual tongue speaking and healings. And even when he did promise them, he didn't promise that one received the forgiveness of sins and salvation from them. But it is through the gospel of Christ's death and resurrection for sinners, and through his sacraments, which you join you to Christ's death and resurrection, that you receive forgiveness, life, and yes, God himself. Jesus said a few verses before the gospel reading, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. And Jesus also said in the gospel reading, whoever does not love me does not keep my words. Jesus tells you plainly that those who do not love him will not keep his words. They will hate his words. Likewise, those who hate Jesus' words will not receive the Holy Spirit, because they neither see him nor know him. And just as Jesus predicted, people responded to the pouring out of the Holy Spirit by mocking. Well, they're filled with new wine. These marvelous signs didn't matter. They didn't believe Jesus' words. Those who refuse to believe will not believe even if they witness great miracles. And those who do believe Jesus' word will believe it and gladly hear it, even if it is wrapped in the most mundane of packages. You'll notice then that it says in the second chapter of Acts that this is the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came upon the disciples. You might have wondered, I thought Pentecost was the day that the Holy Spirit came. How could it be called Pentecost before the Holy Spirit rushed upon the disciples? Well, there was already a celebration of Pentecost from the Old Testament Pentecost, meaning 50. It was one of three major feasts that had to be kept by the people of Israel. It happened 50 days after the completion of the week of Passover. And if you remember, Jesus was crucified, died, and rose the week of the Passover. That is why so many Jews from around the world are gathered in Jerusalem. They have come to offer the appropriate sacrifices to the Lord. Pentecost was also the traditional time to commemorate the giving of the Ten Commandments, which is God's law. Because 50 days after the first Passover, when Israel had left Egypt, God gave them the Ten Commandments through Moses. So then here on this Pentecost, you have Jews from all over the world gathered in Jerusalem to hear the Hebrew language, the commandments of God, which strike terror in the heart and conscience, even as they did that first time they were given them. Nevertheless, on this Pentecost, they hear their mother tongues, the sweet and the comforting message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ bore God's wrath for their sins against the Ten Commandments and rose again to give them new life. And this brings you to an important point. Through which word does the Holy Spirit work to create faith and give peace that the world cannot give? Is it through the law? Or is it through the gospel? It is through the gospel. The law commands you to behave rightly. And because none of you behaves as rightly as you ought to, it condemns you to hell. The Holy Spirit does not give you the assurance of the forgiveness of sins through the Ten Commandments. Rather, what does God say about the Ten Commandments? I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. And so this is important to mark. Not all churches are equal. Not just because a church preaches from the Bible does not mean that the Holy Spirit accompanies their preaching. Many churches teach you to reach God and to receive His love by obeying rules, by following His commands and ordinances. But St. Paul says in his letter to the Christians in Galatia, everyone who relies on the works of the law are under a curse. No, this is not a gift of the Holy Spirit. If it were, when the Father would have no need to send the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. But the Pentecost of the New Testament replaces the Pentecost of the Old Testament. The giving of the law by Moses is replaced by the giving of the gospel through the Holy Spirit. Just as sacrifices of lambs and goats and bread in the temple were replaced by Jesus upon the cross, the sacrifice that puts an end to all sacrifices. And the priests no longer eat the sacrifices in the temple, but Christians. The priesthood of all believers feast upon Christ Himself, the living bread from heaven, and drink in the New Testament of His blood. So here's a question. Do you still have the Holy Spirit today? I mean, I don't have a fire hovering above my head. I'm not speaking in a different language. And if I were, it would probably annoy most of you instead of bringing you comfort. But certainly you don't have, you do have the Holy Spirit. Because you have the gospel. This is the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works through the gospel as you learned in the small catechism. That I cannot believe by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ or come to Him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel. The Holy Spirit washes and renews sinners in baptism. He still strengthens your faith every time you hear the words, your sins are forgiven. You don't need the tongues of fire and the healings any more than I need my wife to wear her wedding dress as she's taking care of our family. You see, the gospel has the most tremendous gifts that you could ever ask for. Jesus says that if you love him, you will keep his word, and the Father will love you, and the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will make their home in your hearts. Tell me, what greater treasure can you find? God, whose throne is in heaven, chooses to dwell in your hearts and to be with you. This is what happens when you believe, learn, and cherish the words of Christ. Nevertheless, those who do not love Jesus, they refuse to hear, learn, or cherish his words. And this truly is disastrous. You can't love Jesus and despise his word. So then when the pastor urges you to go to church, he's not trying to nag you into completing some trite task. Rather, he is exhorting you to love Christ. Because no one who hates Christ can keep his word. But everyone who loves Christ does keep his word. That is, they hear it, they learn it, they take it to heart. Dear saints in Christ, today it is Pentecost. But it is Pentecost whenever you hear the mighty works that God has done through Jesus Christ. You are the church of the Pentecost because you are the church of the gospel, which the Holy Spirit has given to you. And because the Holy Spirit dwells within your hearts, it is your greatest desire to hear the sweet gospel of Jesus. Even as a bridegroom desires to see the lovely face of his bride, may you always have the desire to receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, the grace that he brings to you. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus unto everlasting life. Amen. Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
let's pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus, and for all people according to their needs. Gracious Lord, your Spirit fills the world and gladdens your Church with remembrance of all Christ Jesus has spoken. Comfort us with divine peace, and do not let our hearts be troubled or afraid. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, bless the preaching of your word throughout the world. May your Spirit create faith in the hearts of the nations, that on the great and magnificent day of the Lord, they may call upon the name of your Son and be saved. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Loving Father, come with your Son and make your home among us. Let your word bind families together, guide our life and conversation, and continue among us in each coming generation. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our
O God, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon this nation. Grant us a long memory to recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to our country's peace and security. Bring to mind the sacrifices of those who served faithfully until death in the protection of the freedom and in the defense of our land. Watch over, guard, and protect our servicemen and women in your protective care, especially Gordon, Brandon, John, Dylan, Rebecca, Aiden, Donovan, and Emily. Lord, in your mercy,
hear
our prayer. Lord God of hosts, we give thanks in the waters of holy baptism we receive the forgiveness of sins, deliverance from death and the devil, and eternal salvation. In this baptismal anniversary, bless Jenny and Wyatt continually by your word and spirit, that they may faithfully keep the covenant into which they have been called, boldly confess their Savior, and finally share with all the saints the joys of eternal life. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, by your Holy Spirit, convict us of sin, of righteousness in Christ, and of judgments of your holy word. Sanctify our hearts by the forgiveness of sins, and make us fit partakers of Christ's holy body and precious blood. Lord, in your mercy, advocate and defender whose light never wanes, we bless you that on the great and magnificent day you will raise all the dead and give unto those who believe in Jesus eternal life. We remember with thanksgiving those who have gone before us and are now at rest. Comfort those who mourn, and bring us all with them into the light that knows no darkness. Lord, in your mercy, Almighty Father, with your Son, Jesus Christ, send your Holy Spirit into our hearts through your word and to rule and govern us according to your will. Comfort us in every temptation and misfortune and defend us against every evil, that we may continue steadfast in the faith, increase in love and good works, and trusting firmly in your grace, obtain eternal salvation through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
We continue with the service of the sacrament.
The Lord be with you.
Thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right
in so to do. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you. Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who ascended above the heavens and sitting at your right hand, poured out on this day the promised Holy Spirit on his chosen disciples. For all this the whole earth rejoices with exceeding joy. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, The New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take, eat.
This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin. And in peace, this is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin. Take, drink. This is the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for the forgiveness of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Take, drink, the true blood of Christ, shed for the remission of all your sins. Of this true body and blood of our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve your body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen.
Amen.
Take, eat. This is the true body of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given to death for your sin.
Thank you.
body of Christ, given unto death for your sin. Take, drink, the true blood of your risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for remission of all your sin.
Thank you.
us pray. We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wilt strengthen us through the same in faith toward thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
The Lord be with you. Bless be the Lord. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Lord,